Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we want to read verse 18. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and this is from the letter that he sent to the congregation that met in the city of Rome. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A very uplifting and encouraging section of Scripture begins at this verse and continues through the end of this chapter. I like to read those verses occasionally. I like to meditate upon them because there's some very important information revealed in those verses that will help us when we go through periods of difficulty. We have access to some wonderful blessings that are listed out for us in this part of Romans chapter 8. But in verse 18, we find mentioned the subject that we want to study for a little while today. Verse 18 mentions the sufferings of this present time. I personally would prefer to deal with a much more positive matter than this. I tried to select some songs that would go along with this particular subject, and I believe those two songs that we sang actually deal with this matter. Quite often, though, we hear people question why a loving God will allow people to suffer. I've heard that all of my life. And some would even go so far as to say that suffering proves that God does not exist. Well, in my judgment, that illustrates why we need to study the sufferings of this present time. Because Christians have access to information in the Word of God that will help us. We need to be aware of these things so that we can receive the benefit from them, but also we need to be able to share these things with others. So for a little while, we want to concentrate on some passages that have to do with the sufferings of this present time. We're very much aware that there's a lot of suffering that takes place in our world. If you've been watching the news at all the last couple of weeks, you've seen some families that have been hurt very deeply because of the actions of other people. There's a lot of suffering that goes on in this world, and we need to understand some information revealed in the Bible that will help us. The first point we need to make is that the sufferings of this present time can occur for a variety of reasons. For one thing, it's possible for a person to suffer because of his own actions. To illustrate that, let's consider something that Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, let's read verses 29 and 30. Solomon wrote about the effects of alcohol. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now he's describing someone that's suffering from the effects of alcohol. Well, who is it? Well, he answers a question in verse 30. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Here Solomon wrote about the effects of alcohol. And perhaps we've all known individuals who have suffered from the effects of alcohol. But while alcohol might be blamed, it's the person who takes it in who is responsible for that. The point that we're wanting to make is that it's possible for a person to suffer because of his own actions. That being the case, we need to keep in mind the law of sowing and reaping. It's revealed in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's entirely possible for a person to suffer because of his own actions. But let's go further. We're looking at a variety of reasons why we might have to deal with the sufferings of this present time. It's possible for a person to suffer because of the actions of other people. You don't go very far into the Bible until you'll find an illustration of that. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 4 and verse 8, you read about the occasion when Cain killed his brother Abel. Abel was the one who suffered. Why? Because of the actions of Cain. Now, they both presented offerings unto God. God had respect to Abel and his offering, but to Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain killed his brother Abel. Isn't that sad? There's a rule that will take care of that, though. It's so special, we call it the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7 and verse 12. If everyone would practice the golden rule, we wouldn't have to worry about that reason for people dealing with the sufferings of this present time. Number one, it's possible for a person to suffer because of his own actions. It's also possible to suffer because of the actions of other people. Number three, it's possible for a person to suffer because of an accident. Let's look at Luke chapter 13 and read verse 4. Luke chapter 13. We use verses 3 and 5 to stress the importance of repentance. The idea had been around for a long time, was that when people suffered somehow, they were being punished by God because of some sin that they had committed. That problem is addressed in the book of Job, and we find that the apostles also got caught up in that. Jesus mentioned some people in verse 4, 18 people as a matter of fact, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Now, the common philosophy of the day was that those people were sinners and God was punishing them because of their sins. It was an accident. This tower fell. 18 people lost their lives. It's tragic, but that was an accident. Sometimes people suffer because of accidents. Many times, there's no explanation. It's possible for a person to suffer from natural causes such as sickness and disease. Let's turn to John chapter 9. As this chapter begins, we find that the Lord interacted with a man who was born blind. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see the philosophy that was followed by the apostles? They thought that this man's blindness was because of either his sin or the sin of his parents. Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. It was something that happened. No explanation for it. The man was born blind. Wasn't anyone's fault. It's something that happened. Well, it's possible for a person to suffer from natural causes, such as sickness and disease. And it's possible for a person to suffer as a result of doing the Lord's will. The Apostle Paul stands out as an example of one who suffered in this way. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's begin at verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And he wrote something to Timothy, the young evangelist, who was a very close friend of his, that we need to keep in mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Godly living is sometimes accompanied by persecution. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I see a time coming and not far away when there's going to be persecution against those who maintain the cause of Christ. I hope that's not the case, but I see that coming. The sufferings of this present time can occur for a variety of reasons. Sometimes there's no explanation. Sometimes we can't ever know why. Job stands out as one who suffered tremendously. He lost all of his livestock, he lost all of his children, and then he suffered physically. His whole body was covered with sore boils. He never found out who his adversary was. Of course, at the beginning of the book, we read about the meeting that took place in the unseen spiritual world. Well, Job didn't know about that. It was then that God recognized Job as his faithful servant, but old Satan wasn't going to let that go unchallenged. He had a mission, and his mission was to get Job to curse God. He tried his best, but God put limits on how far Satan could go. At first, Satan said, "You touch what he has, and he'll curse you to your face." God allowed Satan to touch what Job had, lost his livestock and his children. But God said, don't touch him. You see, Satan could only go so far. Well, Job never did curse God after dealing with all of that. Satan wasn't finished. Satan said, you let me touch him, and he will curse you to your face. God said, I'll let you touch him, but don't you take his life. You see, Satan could only go so far. So what happened? You know the story. Job was covered from head to foot with sore boils. And as you read the book, you can't help but appreciate the suffering that Job was going through. To get relief, he did something that to me is quite painful. He took a piece of potsherd. Now that's a broken piece of pottery. It's sharp. It cuts. You drag it across your skin, it hurts. That's what he did to get relief. Well, Job held on. His friends were no comfort to him. Job challenged God to a debate. He wanted to know why he was suffering as he was. God never did tell him. God did appear to him, though, and God asked him some questions that he couldn't answer. He started off by asking Job, "Where were you when I made the world?" Now keep in mind, Job has suffered tremendously. He's wanting to know why. Well, he never found out why. But in the end, God blessed him abundantly. We'll read about him in just a little while. The point is, sometimes things happen that we don't have answers for. And when that occurs, I can't help but reflect upon some words of wisdom that I heard Teresa's dad mention in a sermon. I've shared these words with many people over the years. There are some things that happen in this life that we never get over. We have to accept them. Now, he was talking about what happened with his son, Teresa's brother. He died in 1969 in Vietnam. He was a medic. That family suffered for years over that. I remember when it happened. Teresa's dad had just begun serving as our minister at my home congregation in Jacksonville. I remember that it was reported that he was missing in action, and then we received the news. That family suffered tremendously because of that. Is there any answer for it? It happened. He registered as a conscientious objector and was trying to go through all the legal processes, and while that was taking place, he was drafted 1A, and he served as a medic. That was hard. We're familiar with things like that. That is one suffering of this present time. There are many we could talk about. But I remember those words of wisdom. There are some things that take place in this life that we never get over. We have to learn to accept them. Once we've learned that, then we can go on. Is it easy? No, but it can be done. Well, I think we pointed out that the sufferings of this present time can occur for a variety of reasons. I was going to mention one other. Psalm 90 and verse 10 talks about the days of our years being 70, and if by chance they're 80, those years are accompanied by various types of suffering. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Well, I've learned to gain a new appreciation for that passage. Well, there are certain sufferings that we have to endure because of advanced age. It's part of living. I think we see the point, though. The sufferings of this present time can occur for a variety of reasons, okay, when they occur. Is there some information revealed in the Bible that will help us? Thankfully, there is. So the scriptures contain some information that will help us to face the sufferings of this present time. This might be a challenge for us, but let's consider something that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119. This is a very long psalm. contains some very special information, especially about the Word of God. Well, let's notice something that is mentioned in one section of this psalm, Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The point we need to make from that is that affliction can be beneficial. I don't know what type of affliction the writer of this psalm faced. But after going through it and reflecting on what happened, whatever it was, he realized that there were benefits. For one thing, it helped him go in the right direction. Before he was afflicted, he went astray. He was going in the wrong direction. But after his affliction, whatever it was, he turned his attention to spiritual matters. He concentrated on God and His will, and he made the necessary corrections. Then looking back, he could see how that was actually helpful for him. Now, I'm sure that while he was going through that affliction, he couldn't see that. But later, reflecting back, he said, that affliction was helpful to me. Another point of information that we need to keep in mind is that we need to use caution when we speak to other people who are suffering. I figure you already know what passage I'm going to go to. It's Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That's saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. Sometimes I think about Job and his suffering, and his three friends traveled to be with him. I assume they traveled from some distance. I don't know that. But I assume that they traveled some distance to be with him. They sat with him for a period of 7 days and didn't say a word. That was the best thing that they ever did. Because when they began to speak, things got all out of kilter, we would say. I can almost see at the end of those discussions that they had that Job and his three friends were about at blows with each other. I can almost see that. We need to use caution when speaking to people who are suffering. It's taken me a while to learn this myself, but it's not always appropriate to tell somebody else about a similar experience that you had. There's a time and a place for that, but we need to use a lot of caution. Sometimes the least said, the best. If people know that we're concerned, I tell you, one of the greatest things I've ever had happen to me is when I was going through some period of difficulty, for someone to say, I'm praying for you. That helps me more than anything. Well, we need to use caution when we speak to other people who are suffering. There is a time and a place for sharing an experience with someone, but we need to use a lot of caution. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Now, this is information that will help us when we face the sufferings of this present time. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Many times this passage is not quoted correctly. Sometimes it's misapplied. But let's read what it says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." We need to keep in mind that God is not going to allow his people to be tested above what we're able to bear. Many times I've heard people say, "I know God's not going to put on me more than I can handle." That is a misinterpretation and misapplication of what that passage is saying. By the way, if we make that statement, we're accusing God of causing things to happen to us. And I know God allows things to happen, but there's a difference between that and God causing things to happen. God does allow things to happen to us. However, if we point the finger at God and accuse him, we might be doing something that we shouldn't do. Sometimes I think about poor Naomi in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. Her family had to leave their homeland because of a famine. In Moab, this lady lost her husband. She had two sons. She lost them. That poor woman suffered tremendously. By the way, the word Naomi, it's a beautiful name. It means pleasant. Well, she heard that God had blessed his people by giving them bread. In other words, the famine was over and the people were able to raise crops. So she wants to go back home. When she went back home, people saw her and said, "Is that Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Mara means bitter. Why did she do that? She was pointing the finger at God because of the things that happened in her life. Now, she went through a very difficult time. At the end, she changed her mind. God is not going to allow us to be tested above what we're able to bear. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very comforting. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 is a very special passage. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and read about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And the point that we want to make is that suffering can lead us to depend upon God for strength. Now, sometimes people look at suffering and conclude that there is no God. Well, let's consider what the Apostle Paul wrote. We've already read about the things that he suffered because of serving the Lord. But he was given something very serious. We don't know what it was, but he called it a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Suffering can lead us to depend upon God for strength. Now, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, Paul thought that he'd be better off without it. So he asked the Lord no less than three times to remove that thorn from him, whatever it was. And the Lord's response was, "My grace is sufficient." You see, that thorn in the flesh served a useful purpose. It kept Paul from being lifted up because of the things that were revealed to him as an inspired apostle. By the way, he discusses those things earlier in this chapter. Suffering can lead us to depend upon God for strength. That's what Paul did. Let's remember that the suffering of other people just might provide opportunities for us to do the work of God. Let's go back to John chapter 9 for just a moment. We've already referred to the man who was born blind to show that the sufferings of this present time can be experienced because of natural causes, such as disease and so forth. We've already read the first three verses, but look at the latter part of verse 3. Jesus first asked the questions that were asked by the disciples about whose fault it was that the man was born blind. Well, Jesus said, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents." He went on to say, "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Jesus looked at this man's blindness as an opportunity to do the work that God gave him to do. He turned a dreadful situation into something positive. Now, he told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He did that, and he came back, and he was able to see. I suspect he was a happy man. But the point is, this man's suffering, his blindness, provided the Lord with an opportunity to do the work that God gave him to do. And we need to remember that the suffering of other people just might provide us with opportunities to do the work of God. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You never know when someone goes through a period of difficulty and you provide some assistance, what type of an impression you're making on someone. We can receive a tremendous amount of encouragement from positive examples. Let's look at James 5 and read verses 10 and 11. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. By the way, James, in his very helpful letter, places great emphasis on several very important subjects. One of them is facing trials. Let's notice what he has to say to us in these verses. James 5, verses 10 and 11. "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." We need to turn to positive examples who can help us. They can provide us with great encouragement. I love to study about Old Testament characters especially, and there are many in the New Testament as well, who face great affliction, and they never gave up. Well, that's very helpful. We need to remember to pray. Look at James 5 and verse 13. "Is any among you afflicted?" Well, that's a good question. The answer is, let him pray. Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you." And although it might be a challenge, when we face the sufferings of this present time, we need to strive to maintain a positive outlook. That can be a great challenge. Let's notice what the Apostle Peter wrote, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Someone will always be watching our behavior. And if others observe us reacting to difficulties in a positive way, that'll make a tremendous impression upon them. Now, the opposite is also true. But James tells us to look to positive examples, and Peter teaches us to the best of our ability to strive to maintain a positive outlook. Well, let's go back to Romans 8 and verse 18, the passage that we read at the beginning of our lesson. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We studied a number of passages that have to do with the sufferings of this present time mentioned in the first part of this verse. But the verse goes on to say that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There have been a number of times when I have been with people at very difficult times in their lives, and I've seen what they're going through, and my thought is, how beautiful heaven must be. Because future glory is so special that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to it. You and I both seen people go through great difficulties. But as bad as those things are, they are not worthy to be compared to future glory. I especially love the last few chapters of the book of Revelation, where we learn about some things that will be in heaven and some things that won't be in heaven. Imagine a place where there's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no death and no tears. I don't know about you, but that's a place I want to go to. And it's not just for a weekend retreat. That's for eternity. Well, Romans chapter 8 goes on to reveal some very helpful information that has to do with the sufferings of this present time so that we can face those difficulties in the right way. So I would encourage you to study the rest of Romans 8. It's very helpful. One of my favorite sections of Scripture talks about hope. And that message of hope is for God's children. And we learn how to become God's children in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Those verses teach us how we get into Christ, and then we can have access to this very special hope. God wants to help His children, and God will help. We have to come to Him.